Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The Unofficial Bengals Podcast.
Welcome to the Unofficial Bengals Podcast. This is your host, Frank LaPlaca, and I'm a Bengals fan for life. All right, in this episode, we're going to do a complete review of the Bengals' foray into free agency for the 2023 season.
What's up, guys? This is Evan McPherson, and you're listening to the Unofficial Bengals Podcast.
Cincinnati Bengals fans, I would like to introduce Frank LaPlaca.
Free agency is upon us. An exciting time. You get to make your team better. There's a lot of changing faces. It's huge news for the NFL. Like I said, the NFL season is basically an 11.5-month season. And what is free agency? It's a chance to improve your team. And we realize you can't keep everyone. You know, we have our wish list, and you want to retain every one of your stars, every one of your players, and add a bunch of great new players. The salary cap and the parity in the league just doesn't allow for that. So you take what you can get, you make the most intelligent decisions for your team, and you get better, and you move on, and this team's going to be a contender for years to come, like I always say to you guys. All right, so let's go into free agency and everything that's been going on with it. So the first topic is, at first in free agency, when we didn't do anything on the first couple days, there was a lot of people critical of Mr. Tobin saying, hey, what's going on here? Why aren't we doing anything? We're watching all these other players that were on our wish list get signed by other teams. And even myself, I'm like, man, we gotta get on this. Everyone's getting ahead of us. We're coming to the party a little bit late. But you have to understand, Mr. Tobin is a very, very good executive. And you think about this roster that he's assembled. We're a Super Bowl caliber, AFC championship caliber roster. You have to have faith in him. And that's exactly what happened here. You know, we watched a lot of the players that we want go off the board. And yet, we addressed the most important positions. And the biggest headline is the signing of Orlando Brown Jr. I just can't believe it. We have a legitimate top-of-the-league left tackle. And when you think about it, that's all that matters. You know, you can watch these edge rushers and wide receivers and all these other players that are on our wish list that are the attractive ones to get. But in reality, what do we need to do to make this team a champion, a perennial champion? We need to fix the offensive line. And we're working towards it, right? One year it was drafting guys. The next year it was signing a bunch of free agents. This year it's signing basically the top left tackle, the top free agent out there. So although we didn't jump into the pool right away, we made a huge splash with this signing, and it's going to be great for the team. I'm going to break down the specifics on Orlando Brown Jr. in a second, but I just wanted to go over the impact of getting someone like this. And, you know, just everyone, we get all crazy on Twitter and Instagram and, you know, all the Bengals social media pages, and everyone jumps the gun and is so critical of things. Like, even when Evan McPherson missed a couple field goals, you know, people wanted to get rid of him. You know, we can't be so reactionary. I'm not telling you what to do. You do whatever you want. But I feel that you can't just be so reactionary to every little thing that goes on. You have to kind of take it in and see the big picture. And the big picture is, obviously, going back to the McPherson example, he's going to be a perennial superstar for us that's going to win tons of games. So missing a kick here and there, even missing a big kick, doesn't really matter in the grand scheme of things. Now, we're not talking about Evan McPherson. We're talking about free agency. But the same thing. You know, there was so much hate for Mr. Tobin. It's just unfathomable to me because of all that he's done and the quality roster that he's built. But again, we jump the gun on things. And sometimes just sit back a little bit and watch it develop. Because he's not a fool. He's got a master plan. He knows he has a quarterback in place that can take us where we want to go for years and years. He's not going to waste that. You know, we'd be a fool to waste that. So we took a step back. We were calculated. And we did a monster signing in free agency. And another thing that I've mentioned before, I'm watching all the transactions. I go to SpotRac. It just seems like they're the most current. And if you go there, SpotRac, RAC, you'll see all the transactions for all the teams, basically in real time. So it's a real comprehensive way to see who's going where and what's going on. But in addition to seeing all these free agents getting signed, I'm seeing all these restructuring of deals. And I've said it before on these episodes, I hate that. It feels like you're cheating the system. There's the salary cap in place. You're paying these players big money. You're assembling your roster. And then a couple years later, you're having them take it all as a signing bonus. It's like skirting the system. I think they shouldn't allow that anymore. I don't think you should be able to restructure contracts. I know the Players Association would kill me. It seems like there's a flaw in the system that teams can now move around money to create more salary cap room. That's not really what it was intended for. It's like, here's your list of players. Here's what they make. That's what you get. But now these teams are creatively bending the rules of the salary cap to add all these players. And when you think about it, have the Bengals restructured a deal in the last 5 years? I can't think of one. Maybe it's happened, but definitely not at the level of all these other teams. And like I said, I can't even think of an example. Now, there's talk that they may do that with Joe Mixon. So now I'm like, oh, well, you know, it's okay. But in reality, I don't like it in theory. I think it's cheating the system. And I'm grateful that our front office is managed so well financially that we don't have to do those sorts of things. And another thing, we signed Nick Scott, which I'll go into his specifics in a little bit. But the thing I wanted to mention in this opening segment was all the players from the defense texted him and put him in the text chain. And he realized how unified of a group they are. And he got so excited about the team right away. And that's what it's all about. Like, this team, this culture is a winning culture. And they're together and they're unified. And no one causes any problems. They have a common goal. And that's how you succeed. It's not a bunch of divas and me first guys. And it's about caring for your teammates. I don't care about my individual numbers. I care about winning. You know, maybe some guys behind the scenes want to put up better numbers because that means better money and more security for their family. I understand that. But publicly and from everything I see, this is a group of 53 guys or 75 guys or 90 guys that are all unified and not selfish. And look what it's done in the last 2 years. A Super Bowl berth and an AFC Championship game 2 years in a row. All right, before my last headline that I wanted to go over, just a quick disclaimer. I'm going to talk about things now in this episode, and this episode is probably going to be around for 7 to 10 days or so. I mean, it'll always be around, but, you know, it'll be relevant for that first week or so. But probably by the time this comes out, or even a couple days later, there's going to be a lot of things that happen. So anything I say here that appears to be outdated, I apologize for, but free agency is moving so fast on a daily basis. Okay, now before I get into the free agents and the lists, I'm going to talk about our free agents, the new guys we got, free agents that are out there, even what some of our divisional rivals have done. But the last thing I want to address in this segment is Jonah Williams. Jonah, don't do this to me. Don't make me do this. Why do you have to make me do what I'm about to do? I'm not disclaiming anything. I'm just going to say this. Jonah Williams was our left tackle. We got the best left tackle in football, which is going to displace Jonah Williams. And rather than Jonah Williams be a team player, like I just mentioned, or realize the reality of the situation, and realize that the Bengals still want him to start somewhere on this offensive line, he demands a trade. Do you want me to go after him right now? Should I criticize him as a person and as a player? I don't even know what to do. I'm so angry about this. Let's not even get petty. Let's just do this. But believe me, I want to rip him. And I have full rights to rip him as a dedicated Bengal fan and his performance for this team. But I just want to say this clearly. Jonah, I hope you're listening. I hope someone gets this word out to you. And if you remain on the team, hey, you know what? I'm still rooting for you, but I'm the bad guy who dissed you, I guess. I don't care. Jonah, can you really look in the mirror and say that you've done a good enough job at left tackle to maintain that position? Can you really honestly analyze what you've done since you've been here and say, yes, that was good enough? Can you realize that you have the best quarterback in football, an absolute winner, and you've got him assaulted for the last 3 years? You let up 23 sacks. You led the league in giving up sacks last year. You had 12. That's 12 hits on Burrow. 105 pressures over the last 3 years. You've missed 24 games over your four-year career. You want me to keep going about stats? I don't even have the stats on the number of hits. I dropped my PFF subscription because I'm all over the place with that. but I probably could have seen it there. You guys probably know, but I mean, we're talking 23 sacks, 105 pressures, who knows how many quarterback hits on top of that. You can really honestly say that you've been slighted, that that them signing the best left tackle was a diss on you and they shouldn't have done that and now you want to leave. That's weak. Yeah, and I would say this to you in an alley. And that's what I always say. I don't say anything on this show that I wouldn't say to a player's face one-on-one in an alley. And I'm saying this to you, Jonah. Look in the mirror and you tell me if you deserve to be the left tackle. And they still wanted to move you to right tackle, that you were still a starter in their plan, maybe even guard. But what? You're too good? You're Jonah Williams? You're the first-round draft pick from Alabama? You're everyone's darling growing up. And you can't handle that they got the best left tackle in football, and you feel that's unfair and you should still be starting. So just go. If that's the mentality you have, I do not want you. And I want to say thank you for your service, but no thank you for your service, because you got a generational player assaulted on a regular basis. I might even go on social media, because I don't want to be a hater like this. I hate people that do this, but I'm so mad at you right now. I want to just post a collage of all the hits and sacks that you've given up and post some of this audio underneath it. I'm not going to do that. I don't think I'm going to do that. I'm mad enough to do that right now. But man, have a little self-awareness, Jonah. All right, I needed a second to come down from that rant, but enough about him. He's a memory. I don't even want to dedicate any more brain power to that than I have to. Made me suffer for his four-year career enough as it is. I don't need to suffer anymore with the stuff he's pulling right now. All right, enough on that. Let's get a little more positive. So let's talk about the free agents that we signed. Orlando Brown Jr., the best left tackle out there. Four-year deal. That means that Joe Burrow doesn't have to worry about his left side for a long time to come. 4 years, $64 million, 31 or so million up front. That's a pretty good deal. After the first year, he's not a huge salary cap hit. And even overall, that's pretty inexpensive for a player of this caliber. He was on the Super Bowl Chiefs. He blocked for Lamar Jackson. He's going to turn 27 this year, so he's got plenty of good years left. He's made four Pro Bowls. He's missed one game due to injury in his whole career. He's played right tackle for his first 2 years or so. He moved to left tackle. He wants to play left tackle only. So this isn't the solution to replace Lyle Collins while he heals. This is the solution to get an established quality left tackle. And the impact of this is incredible. I mean, when you give Joe Burrow time, he is just going to dissect the defense and move the ball. And this is the biggest missing piece. You're watching this offensive line get built up now. I mean, left tackle is set. We're set at center with Karras. We're set at guard with Kappa. Right tackle, there's a whole bunch of guys that can go into that mix. I mean, Lyle Collins when he's healthy. You have Jackson Carmen, although I like to see him on the left more, but now that's kind of out of the realm of possibility with Brown there, as long as Brown is healthy. But you have a new guy that they brought in, Cody Ford, and you have potential draft picks. There's a lot going on for that right tackle position, and it appears that left guard is going to be Cordell Volson's. He grew and grew last year, and I predict even better things for him this year. I mean, look at this offensive line right now. I think we need a little more depth, but that's what the draft is going to be for, and develop guys. And when Collins comes back too, no matter who's starting at that tackle position, that's a pretty good offensive line group, better than it's been in a long time. And the front office has realized, I mean, they have known this for a couple years, but the main priority is protecting Joe Burrow, even more so than the weapons. And of course, we want to keep all of these great weapons and all of these great receivers and add a tight end and, you know, maybe do something at running back as well. But the reality is you could put mediocre pedestrian players out there with Joe Burrow. If you give him time to throw, he's going to find them and he's going to be successful. So this is the best possible free agent signing that we could have had. And I'm thrilled. I mean, I know all of you were throwing a party when this happened. Social media blew up. As Bengal fans, this feels so good. If he can stay healthy and have four good years with us, we're going to the Super Bowl. We're winning the Super Bowl, flat out. So other signings from outside the organization, Cody Ford, and he's a guard slash tackle. They're going to give him a shot at the right tackle position. And he was drafted in the second round by the Bills. They traded him to the Cardinals a year or two back for a fifth round pick. He started 32 games in his career. He was a backup. You know, he started his career as a starter, had some injuries, maybe hit a little bit of a sophomore slump, became a backup. But he has experience at right tackle, left guard, right guard. pretty much all across that offensive line. So he's got a shot to compete for a guard position, maybe the left guard position. He's got a shot to compete for the right tackle position. If all else fails, he's going to be quality depth that can play multiple positions. So I think this is a great acquisition. He has a bunch of starts. He's been in the league for a while, has had some injuries of late, and last year I think he got injured early and missed a whole bunch of time. But if he can stay healthy, here's another valuable piece. I don't know the terms of his contract. I think it was a one-year deal. I haven't been able to find the dollar amount that they signed him for, but I know it couldn't have been a crazy amount because he wasn't a totally high-demand free agent, but he's one of those under-the-radar guys that, you know, a little, you know, like we used to do, we get those second-tier guys, but if you develop them properly and they have a big upside, they could be big players for us. So I like this signing as well. Any offensive lineman added to this team is huge. And then the last one is Nick Scott. Now, there's a couple other safeties out there that we had interest in. Poyer was a good one. He went to the Bills. Gardner Johnson is a good one. There's still a debate on where he's going to go. Maybe we still bring him in. I wouldn't mind that either. But Nick Scott was pretty much a backup safety and a core special teams player for his career. Seventh round draft pick. But he started in the Rams Super Bowl run and all of last season. And in the Rams Super Bowl run, he performed pretty well in the playoffs. So I like to see that, you know, playing well in big games. And he's a big hitter. He's got a good attitude. Another player that's maybe under the radar and could be on the rise. We'll see what happens. You know, I think he's going to be more of a strong safety. Although in Coach Anarumo's defense, there's not really a free and a strong. They both kind of do everything. And I think this guy fits that mold. But I'm not just going to anoint him because he's a new Bengal and say, like, you know, he's a perfect replacement for Bell and Bates, because those guys are going to be very hard to replace. But at least they brought someone in the room who's got some upside. 3 years, $12 million. We're going to bring Dax Hill up into that position. You know, that's still a work in progress. We're hoping that there's not a huge learning curve there. As I said, they should have gotten him more snaps last year. There were times that we were way ahead of teams and teams are throwing late in the game. That would have been a perfect time to pull out Bates and let Hill get some time and, you know, get him ready for this year. You could have done it last year without hurting your win total or in big games. They could have slid him in for quite a bunch of snaps. They didn't. I don't know if it was an oversight. I don't know what it was. I think they should have done it. But who is Frank from the Unofficial Bengals podcast to argue with this coaching staff and Coach Anarumo's philosophies? All right, so let's blast down our free agents and what happened with them. So there are a few more signings of our own players, which I'll go over. I'm just going to hit the... I printed a list. I'm just going to run down the list very quickly. So Jesse Bates goes to the Falcons. We all kind of knew that because he was hanging out with those guys in the offseason. You know, he got his four-year, $64 million deal. So thank you for your service, Jesse Bates. He played great for us in big games. You know, a couple years back, he was the best safety in the league or right up there. And he's had a great career for us. He was durable. He was a leader. He wasn't a distraction, even with the contract stuff, you know, a little bit, but nothing major when he didn't show up for minicamp. But once he was here, there was no distraction. He played great, did a lot for this team. So I'm wishing you well, Jesse Bates. Von Bell, 3 years, $22.5 million to the Panthers. That one was strange. I really thought that we could retain him. And for $7 million a year, it would have been worth it. But, you know, we have those offensive players like Higgins and Burrow, and I know they want to keep Logan Wilson around, so there's going to be big money thrown at those guys. So maybe they prioritized, or maybe the Panthers just swept Von Bell before we realized. But Von Bell, great player for us, another one who played big in big games and did it all. You know, played in the box, played in coverage, anything he needed him to do as a safety, he was there for. And, of course, we will never forget and always, always thank him for the culture-changing hit on Juju Smith-Schuster. I mean, Juju was one of my most hated players for what he did to Vontez and just the way he carries himself. And that was just the total comeuppance. And if you look at what happened after that game, Juju Smith was never the same. And you can say the Antonio Brown effect on him as well. But Juju was never the same player. And we just became a winning organization. That was an organizational defining moment and hit. And we all owe Von Bell. So let's all wish him well down in Carolina. He's in the warm weather, and I hope he continues to have a great career and make a lot of money. Jermaine Pratt re-signed, 3 years, $20 million. 27-year-old player who also had a culture-defining moment for Cincinnati when he had that interception of Derek Carr to win the first playoff game in decades. So we all owe him for that, and not just that. He has really come into his own the last two seasons. He can play three downs, even though they don't always play him three downs. He's good in coverage. He's a hitter. He causes turnovers. He's good against the run. It's just a guy that you want to keep around, and I'm so glad. And he was talking in the offseason, like, almost goodbye Cincinnati, and I'm so glad that that did not happen. So having him and Logan Wilson in there, now your linebacking core is set for years to come, you know, once they re-sign Logan Wilson to an extension. Eli Apple is still out there, and I say bring him back. He has the reputation where teams aren't going to throw a lot of money at him, and he had a great couple years for us. And even if you get someone who you want to start in place of him, you know, if it's a Woozie and Taylor Britt, when Woozie is healthy, that's fine by me, but you still need corners. You see how often they go down, and you see how often teams are running four wide receivers, five wide receivers. So Eli Apple is a must to bring back to this organization. Hayden Hurst went to the Carolina Panthers, 3 years, $21 million, and he had a great year for us. We rejuvenated his career. I think $7 million would have been decent to bring him back as well. The organization felt differently, or maybe it's those sneaky Panthers coming in and getting them before we realized what happened. But he had a good year of service with us. I wish him good luck. But his main impact, in addition to making some big plays, and especially at the end of that AFC Championship game where he had that real long running catch, which gave us hope at the end. But in addition to that, it really established that, hey, you give Joe Burrow a real pass-receiving threat at tight end, and the sky's the limit. So now we're fully aware of that. We've seen a sample size of that. So now they're going to chase one in the draft. But, hey, thank you, Hayden Hurst, for what you did and for bringing awareness on what Joe Burrow can do with a great tight end. Trey Flowers is still out there, and he's another one. You know, you could probably get him for not a lot of money. He falls into that Eli Apple group, and he became a niche player covering tight ends. He had a couple good years doing that. I say bring him back. Let's find a way, put him in that role. And another player who, for some reason, the league has kind of lost faith in, that you can get for not a lot of money. So Eli Apple, Trey Flowers, bring them back. Samaje Perine, that one hurt because he really had established himself as a starting level running back in this league. He went to the Broncos, 2 years, $7.5 million. Not a lot of money. Again, they could have re-signed him. But maybe they just want to, maybe they have their eyes on a couple guys in the draft. It looks like they're going to keep Joe Mixon around. And, you know, you have Chris Evans, Travion Williams. Those guys don't have a lot of mileage on them and still are on the upswing of their career. So we'll see what we're going to do at running back. It would have been nice to keep Samaje around. As I said, he'll run through a brick wall. He's a pass receiving threat out of the backfield, as we've seen. Remember the 41-yard touchdown against the Chiefs 2 years ago. He's an excellent blocker. He plays special teams. Signal caller on the punts, personal protector. Like, this guy can just do it all. He's going to be a great addition to the Broncos, and I hope we don't have to face him because no one wants to tackle this guy. Next is Brandon Allen. I don't think we're bringing him back, and please don't bring him back. It's a train wreck when he goes in there. Yeah, that's the truth. I guess that's the new unofficial Bengals podcast. I'm not going to hatefully bash people, but I'm going to tell it like it is. And Brandon Allen is not where it's at. So, I don't know, maybe we draft a quarterback. I'm thinking you don't want to get one too early because you have other needs. But maybe you get a fifth rounder, Ryan Finley. No, I'm kidding around. But or maybe there's a veteran free agent. I don't know. Bring somebody in because I don't think you need to bring Allen back. And I'm not sure that Jake Browning is going to be ready for that position unless the team knows better than I do. Drew Sample, second round tight end that never really panned out. I mean, pegged as a blocker, but still wasn't a top of the league blocker at tight end. You know, hands were shaky. I remember one time he caught a pass in the open field. He tripped over his own feet, and I was like, oh man, this guy is just, nothing seems to work out for him. So I don't know if they're going to bring him back. I think they're going to move on from him. Doesn't seem like anyone else is interested in him right now. So, you know, good luck, Drew Sample. You know, we'll see what happens with your career. Clark Harris. I'm not going to rant about Clark Harris like I always do, but put this man in the Hall of Fame. I wish he would have been around long enough to get a ring with us. He's going to move on. I hope he plays for somebody on the East Coast so he's close to South Jersey, the Jersey Shore area, which I always rant about, that him and I are from basically the same area. Maybe I'll do a Clark Harris episode in my downtime one of these years. Michael Thomas, the safety, I am thrilled that he's back on a one-year deal. He's a leader for this team. He's a great special teams player. You know, he's already kind of like the king of the secondary locker room. Even though he's not the best player, he seems to be like the most respected elder slash leader. So great addition to the team. And he's going to make a ton of big plays on special teams and can get in there and play on the starting defense in a pinch as well. So very good signing there. Trent Taylor, 1 year deal. Now, I don't really like him as a punt returner. I like the sureness in his catching and his hands. That's good. But I think they should use him more as a weapon. You know, remember the 2-point conversion that he had? Little gadget plays like that. I think he could really be effective in a 5-wide receiver set. They don't use him there that often. They just have him returning punts. I say draft an electrifying punt returner and move Trent Taylor more towards the wide receiver position. That's probably not in their plans, but that's what I would do. I was surprised they brought him back, to be honest. But I don't hate that they brought him back. Chris Lammons, a semi-veteran corner that we got at the end of last season, but now he's a free agent already, so I don't really know enough about him to talk about him. So I don't know what's going to happen with Chris Lammons. Probably not going to be brought back. Travion Williams, a 1-year deal, and I think this is outstanding because he's a great player. You give him more time on that offense, just like Chris Evans, and they're going to produce. So the Bengals see that and they believe in him. And same thing with Trent Taylor. Like, I don't even view Travion as an electrifying kick returner. I like him more from scrimmage as, you know, a third down back or even an alternate for Mixon. So I don't know what role they have planned for him. I'm almost feeling like it's kick returner, but I'm hoping that he gets more time with the starting offense. Clay Johnston, Joe Bocci, kind of one and the same, you know, both not extremely athletic linebackers, but tough linebackers. They play special teams, you know, real try-hard guys. So they haven't brought back Johnston yet. I kind of thought it was one or the other. So they brought back Bocci. I think he's a little more productive from scrimmage. They're both great special teamers. So they opted to sign Bocci and probably let Johnston go. And you'll probably see them get a linebacker late or in an undrafted free agent that they can kind of plug into that Clay Johnston role. But again, another huge moment in Bengals history from Johnston when he stopped Derrick Henry in the playoff game on the 2-point conversion. Let's never forget that. Let's thank Johnston for that, and let's wish him well in the rest of his career. Mitchell Wilcox, an infamous moment when he went into long snap and it was a train wreck. I don't think they're going to bring him back. I thought he was decent as a blocker last year and even as a low-key, you know, kind of on-the-side pass catcher, but it just doesn't seem like the club is interested in him, and that's just fine with me. We can move on. And the last free agent of our own, and I love this signing, is Jalen Davis, 2-year contract. They see the value in this guy. You know, to the average Bengal fan, a lot of people don't really know him, but he's a really, really good backup slot corner. So if something happens to Hilton, you can plug in Davis without, I mean, there's going to be a drop-off, but he's still going to be not a liability in there. The club obviously believes that to sign him for 2 years. I'm thrilled about this signing. It's kind of bigger than everyone thinks. So welcome back, Jalen Davis. I believe in you, and I've seen what you can do. All right, other teams' free agents. I had this whole list, and a lot of them got signed by other teams, so I don't want to go over the whole list, but Chauncey Gardner-Johnson is one guy that can play safety and corner, nickel corner. He's a guy that you might want to consider, almost like Dax Hill kind of versatility, but I thought he was really coming on strong for the Eagles last year. And I don't know, he got injured late, but I don't know what's going on with him. There's a couple teams interested. I think the Eagles, I think the Titans and us, I think that's the list. I still say, even though you got Nick Scott, you still should be looking for another safety. And this is an electrifying player that played on a winning team that would be a great addition to Cincinnati. And then other guys, there's not a ton, but the one that really disappointed me was Mike Gesicki. And he's from the same area as Clark Harris. He's a Jersey Shore guy, played for Southern, which is down by LBI. Again, nicest beach on the East Coast. And the year before this, when he signed a franchise tag with the Dolphins for like $10 million or so a year, I was saying, I don't know if I said it on the podcast, but I would say amongst my circle that if we signed Gesicki, we're going to the Super Bowl. I thought he was the missing ingredient. They signed Hayden Hurst, which is a level below Gesicki, and look at the impact that he had. But I felt that that was the case with Mike Gesicki. Now, he went to the Patriots on a 1-year, $4.5 million deal. I mean, if we just could have paid him $5 million, he would have come here. If we probably offered him $4 million, he would have come here to play with Joe Burrow rather than Mac Jones. This was such an oversight bias, and the whole league is sleeping on him. And I know I sound like I'm promoting a Jersey guy, but the reality is he is a great player. And, you know, he's had a good career, and up to last year, let's not talk about last year, we'll get to that in a second. But prior to that, he was a big threat but had no one to throw the ball to him. So when he got the opportunities, he was putting up numbers and being very productive and being a dominant pass-catching tight end. But they didn't have the quarterback to find him. And then when they did have the quarterback to find him, Tua, they changed their system because they had Hill and Waddle, and they became more of a wide receiver pass-receiving team, but with good reason because those guys are great. But he kind of got forgotten. And I remember having a conversation with a Dolphins fan, Sports with So-So, great show, he's a good guy. But he talked about how they're using him as a blocker. They even told him, hey, we're going to change your role and make you more of a blocker this year. So when you see the numbers for Gesicki last year, they're not going to be impressive because it was a wide receiver dominant offense and they were asking him to block more. You know, Tua, I guess, wasn't looking for the tight end as much as some other quarterbacks would. So he had a down year. It brought down his price tag to such an affordable level. This is a miss. Remember that I said this. Well, we're not going to know, right? Because if he's going to go to the Patriots, I mean, they use their tight ends a lot, but their quarterback isn't top-notch. So maybe you'll never see the potential of Gesicki on what I was talking about. But I'm telling you, if we brought him here, it would have been a major change. And we could have got him for nothing. And it could have eliminated the need to use a first or second rounder on a tight end. Again, I don't know everything. These guys know better than me. But I really feel that this was a miss. And then quarterback, I don't know. I almost thought bring Andy back, but maybe that's not good. There's not a lot of great veteran free agents out there, but we really need a backup quarterback. I'm assuming that Joe's going to stay healthy with the improvements on the offensive line. But you don't want anything to happen to this team. Like if Burrow does happen to go down for any period of time, and I wish I didn't say that out loud, this team is good enough where it deserves someone that can carry them to a couple wins, because it would be such a shame if something did happen to Burrow and this team didn't go where it deserves to go, because even without Burrow, this is a Super Bowl quality roster, so you really need to think hard about the backup quarterback. All right, so in the spirit of keeping it short, I feel like I've been talking for an hour, but I love talking about transactions and the roster, and this free agency period has been so eventful and exciting. We had the Jonah news, just all of this. I could talk about this forever. You guys know that. I mean, you don't even give me notes. You just say, here's a mic, talk about the Bengals for 3 hours, and I'm down. And I'm sure a lot of you guys are down for that, too. So really quick, let's go over the other teams. So the Steelers, Cam Sutton is out. Patrick Peterson is in. That's a pretty good pickup for them. They re-signed Ogunjobi for about $9-plus million a year. And they got Isaac Suamalo from the Eagles. A little bit of an injury-prone history, but a great guard when he's healthy. So the Steelers made some good additions, and retaining Ogunjobi was good. I know they're not re-signing Miles Jack. The Devin Bush experiment is over. Remember, I was so mad that we didn't get him and they kind of came and stole him from us. But in retrospect, that was pretty good that happened, because he seemed to be a pretty pedestrian player in this league. The Browns, Dalvin Tomlinson's going to be big on that defensive line. Aronquo, a pass-rushing defensive end, that's someone that the Bengals were targeting. So they have two good additions to that line. And, you know, I mean, Clowney, I don't know what they're doing with him. I think he's gone. But you bring these two guys in, especially Tomlinson, and what they have there with Myles Garrett, Browns are going to be a pretty formidable defense again. Ravens haven't done much. I read a little bit, but, I mean, they released Calais Campbell, which was expected, but I haven't seen that much. I know they're struggling with this Lamar Jackson situation, and you know what? Fine, let him struggle. But I don't wish anything good for the AFC North opponents, because I want to win the division. And then free agents that got away from us. McGlinchey, everyone was talking about. Although I had Bengals stats on, Evan McPhillips, a great football mind. And he said that McGlinchey actually wouldn't have been that much of an improvement over Jonah, because McGlinchey's not a great pass protector. So he's with Denver. Kind of glad we didn't sign him based on that knowledge. Bradbury, I thought, would have been a good addition at corner. We didn't get him. Jordan Poyer would have been a good addition at safety. That's about it. We didn't miss out on that many other players, in my opinion. I know you guys have your wish list, so maybe some of those guys are still around. We'll see what happens. The Bengals aren't done in free agency. I believe we're going to pick up another player or two. But I'm really happy with the way things are going. It was a little bit of a slow start to free agency, but it was a calculated start. And this team got better, even though Bell and Bates are major losses. Pretty much the only real major losses. Look at how much better we got on that offensive line already. I mean, the sky is the limit. I'm thrilled and can't wait to watch everything unfold for this team, not only this offseason, but this season and beyond. That'll do it for this episode. Next episode, I'm going to finally give out those positional grades and review the whole roster and the performances from the 2022 season. Free agency was, I felt, was a more pressing topic to talk about in this episode, but we're going to hit those player grades. We're going to hit some other topics. We're going to review some headlines. And before you know it, the draft's going to be here. Looking forward to all this. I'd like to thank @BengalsHighlights on Instagram, the best page out there. Really cool highlights, really cool music. Definitely something you should check out. Thank you for listening to the Unofficial Bengals Podcast. This is your host, Frank LaPlaca. and I'm a Bengals fan for life.
The Unofficial Bengals Podcast.